Gangrel on the Vampire Warrior, and you're fanging and banging Fist to Face Podcast with DMP. Want some? Get some. Bad enough, take some.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Season 2 of the Fist to Face Podcast.
In this episode,
we'll be hanging out with ECW Original
Mustafa Money Loves Me Saeed,
chopping it up about wrestling in the NWA,
being an ECW Original in the Gangstas with New Jack,
Smoky Mountain Wrestling with Jim Cornette,
tagging with Tommy Dreamer,
cutting promos on OJ Simpson,
and clearing the air
on comments regarding
Bruiser Brody's
untimely death.
This episode of the Fist to Face Podcast is presented by Brawler Sports Management, Brawler Brew Energy Drink, Charlatan Records. Knock out your legal issues with Nog Law Firm. Aggressive trial attorneys, criminal defense, and family law.
Texas, what people have to remember is that the general rule is everything that you acquire, assets, debts, and liabilities during the marriage, they're going to be presumed to be community property. You know, a good lawyer is going to be able to kind of help you navigate, you know, the pitfalls of selling the house, getting it appraised, making sure that, you know, you're protected with the closing, the title company, and all that.
And Outlaw Fit Camp. Make fit happen. OutlawFitCamp.com. Real people, real results.
Now sit back, crank it up, and let's bring the fist to face. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Fist to Face Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Fist to Face Podcast. I am your host, TMD. And ladies and gentlemen, what an honor today. We have got the one and only ECW Original, one half of the Gangstas. We are talking about one of the kindest individuals you could ever run into a locker room. And damn it, if you have him in a locker room, pick his brain. He is more than happy to share his knowledge with you. I am talking about the one and the only Money Loves Me, Mustafa Saeed. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing good, man. But let me tell you something, man. It's a lot of trash out there. You know how it go, man, sometimes. And I don't know if you've seen it. It might have been months ago. They had me talking about that Bruiser Brody deserved to die kind of thing on a video I did with a guy a long time in Monty and the Pharaoh back in the day. And okay. They put that up there, and then, you know, they wanted some views, or they just didn't pay attention to what they said. And I never said that Bruiser Brody deserved to die. You know, all I said was, hey, man, when you in that territory like that, you got to watch your back. That's basically what the message was, you know. And okay. But then again, I need the people to probably need to watch the whole segment to understand what I was talking about.
Yeah, that is today's environment, unfortunately. You know, things get misconstrued, quotes get taken out of context. But of course, you know, anybody who knows you wouldn't wish nothing like that on anybody.
Oh yeah, come on, man.
Speaking of which, Mustafa, unfortunate breaking news today. Ole Anderson passed away.
Yeah, I just seen it. One of my people always, we go back and forth and find out who died today, who did something great. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's sad. That's sad. Cause, they were one of my favorite, Gene Anderson, which wasn't his real brother, but, you know, it was Gene Anderson, and the Ole Anderson was the original Wrecking Crew with his other brother back in the day. And, you know, Lars Anderson. And, you know, they were the Wrecking Crew, and then they finally broke off with Ole and Gene. And I used to go watch them in Charlotte Coliseum all the time, or Charlotte Park Center. They would wrestle Wahoo McDaniels and Paul Jones. And Bruiser Brody, like I was saying before, Bruiser Brody was one of my guys that wanted me to, that I wanted to get in wrestling because of people like that. You know what I'm saying? So, but Gene, the one that trained me back in the old NWA days.
Yeah, that's why I brought up Ole Anderson, because I know Gene Anderson trained you.
Yes.
And not long after he trained you and you broke into the business, you started in WCW. Like you started in WCW. Where the big boys play. Like, I mean, did you spend any times on the independent scene before you started at WCW?
What it was, I was doing independents, things like that. But also I had went to WWF too. So I was going all at the same time. Yeah, I was going all at the same time. And, you know, up there jobbing and stuff like that, but was still learning the business experience and stuff like that. And WCW, well, Gene sent me down to WCW more because plus it was close by. And then also, you know, they would work me more because, you know, it was more, the WWF was, don't get me wrong, because people take it wrong how you say stuff.
Yeah, WWF
was more at that time was entertainment. They still had some tough guys up there. They was more into the entertainment side of it. The other side of WCW or NWA, they were still into wrestling, you know, really wrestling and more wrestling than show.
Right.
It's still the same thing though. Making money.
There it is. And that's the most important. That's what they say is the only thing real in the business, basically, is the miles and the money, right?
Oh yeah.
How did you, get started? I know Gene trained you, but like, how did you initially get your foot into the door and into the pro wrestling business?
Well, you know how they always say, somebody pass you the blunt and they say you start smoking, you start blaming them. But my grandfather, the one got me hooked on pro wrestling. So I go spend the night up there at his house, man. And a couple of times I was playing in front of the TV. I must've been 6 or 7 years old. He had that look like, man, if you don't get out in front of that TV, wrestling coming on. And next thing you know, is Mid-Atlantic Wrestling was coming on. It was, like I said, it was Rip Hawk, Ric Flair, Wahoo McDaniels, Johnny Valentine, shoot, Tiger Conway Jr. I can go, name some names. You know what I'm saying?
I love hearing it.
And that's how I got hooked.
So,
plus, he took me to a live match. I played hooky from school one night. And we went to the match on Tuesday night, and the main event was Johnny Valentine against Wahoo McDaniels. And Jobber had came out to the first match, and we was all booing him. He looked like he looked at me. Next thing you know it, he said, "Shut your hole." And I ran behind my grandfather, man. It scared the hell out of me so bad. You know what I'm saying? So I was hooked after that.
Did your grandfather get to see you wrestle?
Nah, man, he died, man, right before I really got developed. You know what I'm saying?
Man, yeah. He had the best seat in the house, no doubt about that. So after WCW, man, you ended up in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Yes. Please tell us a little bit about your time in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Well, the fun part was Jim Cornette gave us a deal, me and New Jack. And New Jack, man, RIP, man. My boy, we got a deal up there, and you know, New Jack was the lead man. You know what I'm saying? Because he came up with the gimmick, and I was just, you know, I followed behind, and because I was wearing tights, you know, the same stuff you normally do, and so he said, "Hey man, you can start wearing this and start putting on fatigues and stuff like that." And then Jim hooked us up, man. You know, we were independent, though. We were wrestling together independent, doing North Georgia wrestling at first. And then we went to a match at Stone Mountain, Georgia, and it was Ronnie Garvin was there. Kevin Sullivan, you know, the Macho Man, you know, those guys was wrestling. We worked that night, and next thing you know, Jim gave us a deal, man, to come to Smoky Mountain.
Wow. You know, there's two promos from that era that you and New Jack that really stands out. The first one was against The Undertaker. You guys were by a cemetery.
We was in a cemetery. We was actually in a cemetery, yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that promo, please?
Oh, dude, that spooked me out. I'm not going to lie. You know, the thing about it was, you know, I mean, we were here playing like this with the dead, like this, and we did a promo. It was D-Lo, Cal at the time. He was with us, and New Jack. And we had the shovels and stuff like that, like we was going to dig up a grave, which I doubt that I was going to do something like that. But, you know, we told that like we were going to dig up a grave to make sure we're not scared of the Undertaker. And the actual cat, they did have a cat, you know, come out of nowhere, and which was cool, you know what I'm saying? So. It worked out pretty good.
So I remember that promo, and man, who could forget the promo with you and New Jack and about O.J. Simpson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, Jim Cornette, he wanted that kind of controversy. You know what I'm saying? So he said, go out there and say what you're going to say. But we're going to put under the bottom of the, you know, the screen where the views does not reflect, you know.
They weren't trying to get canceled in the 80s back then.
Right. Because you believe we couldn't even get nowhere saying some of the stuff we said in ECW. And,
Man, speaking of ECW, I mean, wow, you are an ECW original. And one of the things I love the most is when you come being at SPW in Sacramento, Anytime you come out and your song hits, the people go crazy. They throw up the X's, man, they still love you. And the energy, man, if anyone's sitting down, whenever you come through those curtains, everyone's up throwing the X in the air. You know, ECW still resonates to this day. So everyone looks back fondly on those years. You were such a huge part in those years, man. The Gangstas. Well, you guys had some really crazy matches. What was the ECW environment like? Was it really as like Wild West as they kind of portray it to be? Was it crazy?
Put it this way, we'll all be going to jail right now. All the stuff we had, we had it all, man. We had the roids, the everything. You know, we had everything you needed.
And this was backstage.
Everything you needed. Yes, you needed.
Was this during a show? Was this like during the show?
Oh yeah, during the show. It's every episode, every show that you've seen. Back in the dressing room, everybody had everything you needed. Hey man, I need some stitches. All right, we're going to glue you. They glue you shut. They glue your eye shut, whatever. You know, they had everything, man. You needed some pills for this, for that. Everything was there, man. You know, drinking. Wow, man. You wanted to drink. They had the drinkers there. You know, Sandman was my man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it was no, it was a party, man, every time.
What was your drink of choice back then?
Well, you know, you heard the thing about the pencil shavings and all that kind of stuff like that. But my thing was, I like to drink a beer, man, at that time.
What kind of beer?
Shoot, it was always a 40-ounce, man. So it was always the Old English or something like that.
Oldie.
Yeah, that dude ain't ball, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Right, had to light that up. You know, but if I got a Budweiser or something like that, I wouldn't complain. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Yeah, man. So, can you please tell us, do you have any, what's your fondest memory of working with New Jack in ECW? Because you guys did a lot of angles. You guys had a lot of parts in the storyline. Was there any fond ones that stand out in particular?
Well, you know, we want to guess, all of them were good, man. All of them were good. You know, the thing about it was, it seemed like, you know, Jack was always mad at somebody. So, you know, it was all good. You know what I'm saying? So he get mad at me, and then he get mad at the Paulie. He get mad at everybody. But, you know, at the end of the day, I enjoyed it all, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so glad that I was associated with him. He changed my life. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, you know, at that time, you know, I did the same thing for him. And he would get mad at me. I had it coming sometimes. You know, I would do stuff, you know, sometimes. But it was all love, man. You know, we was all, we was brothers, man.
You know, you've worked with a lot of polarizing characters in your time.
Yes.
First, please tell us, what is Jim Cornette like?
Have you ever seen Weird Science?
Of course, I love that movie.
Or the other one. What was the other one with Back to the Future?
Of course, I saw that too.
Yeah, you see the old crazy dude that was in it with
Doc?
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, Doc. Yeah, Christopher Lloyd. Doc.
Mm-hmm. You remember him? That's what Cornette was. That was just a fool. You know, but he was a genius, though. He was a genius, man. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So he knew the business. He knew how to talk, you know, everything. So it was good.
Of course, that's the Smoky Mountain wrestling era. And then, of course, bringing it to Paul Heyman.
What was Paul Heyman like? You know, I don't use this word loosely all the time, but they were geniuses, man. They loved the business. But you know, you also got to watch your back too now, because you know, if you didn't check yourself, they'd use you, man, and you know, you couldn't get back. But you had to really put your foot down with them. But they were good people, man. They put you on, and then that was our job to stay on there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But they put you on, and hey, I can't argue with that.
Wrapping up the ECW stuff. Were you there for the mass transit incident?
Oh yeah, I was in the ring, man. I was the one suplexing. I suplexed him at the.
Oh, you were there. You were.
Yeah.
There.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you had the best seat in the house.
It was. You know what? The thing that was bad about it was, I could see from the get go that it was going to be a bad idea bringing him out, because he just didn't look like a wrestler, man. You know what I'm saying?
He lied. He lied about his training.
He lied.
Not defending anything New Jack did, but right. he should have never been in that ring in the first place. That is universally understood. Absolutely. Right. He should have never been. He was a kid. He was like, yes. What, like 16, 15 years old?
And, well, he was about 17. Okay. That I know of.
And he was a big boy. He was a big boy.
Yeah. Right. And he shouldn't have been out there, man. And it did what it did, man. It do what it do, as they say.
Man, yeah. If you're not familiar with that footage, all you got to do is Google it, because it's out there. You know, fast forwarding, a lot of people, if they want to see you, man, you're a regular. You're a mainstay in Supreme Pro Wrestling out of Sacramento. And, yeah. And I mean it, man. These fans love you there. Please tell me, like, what's your experience been like? It seems like, not that it's your home promotion, but man, you're always at Supreme Pro Wrestling. What is it about SPW that you love so much that you're always there?
SPW is just the one that accepted me at first, you know, really accepted me at first. Other guys were, the other places are good too, but that the SPW, the Samurai, you know, we got together, man, and we just been clicking, man, the whole time. And so I said, well, I'm in SAC, and let me go on and kick it here, man. And plus the guys that we got talent, man, we got a whole lot of talent, man. It's unbelievable.
Because I think that's awesome that fans can roll and see you every month in Sacramento. As a matter of fact, there was a match not too long ago when Tommy Dreamer came and you guys tagged.
We tagged,
That was an awesome sight. You know, you're getting two ECW originals, and the fans lit up, man. And I was watching. And you know, one thing I love about you is I'm 45, so I'm younger. Really? But when I come into the building, I'm just worn out from the road, man. Driving in from LA, I got so much shit going on, like everybody else. But I don't have the energy to do anything extra. But if you look to the corner, you'll see Mustafa Saeed in the corner. He's doing jump ropes. He's doing jumping jacks. He's doing push-ups. Like, man, you are nonstop. Like, you are an inspiration to me, for one, honestly, because of the energy you have, the personality you have, and you are the knowledge you possess, man. Like, I recommend anybody in the business.
Yes, yes, y'all. It is TMD, the handsome half-breed, the host of the Fist to Face podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple, Amazon, and iHeartRadio.
If you ever get a chance to run across Mustafa Saeed in the back, why not just pick his brain? He's a very nice guy to talk to, and he's always kicking down knowledge. And I love seeing that, man. You're just ready to go at all times, man.
Well, you know, like right now, I could stomp the toothbrush right now and stomp it out real quick. You know, I'd be ready to go all the time. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things that I got. Well, like I said, I got it from Mid-Atlantic, man. Mid-Atlantic was their angles. And I ain't gonna sit there and say they had the greatest booking all the time. as I'm in the business now, and the promotion was good. But you know, you get that, you get to the point where you want to spread out too much. And that's what makes most promotions go down, because they go too far. And instead of just staying where, you know, their roots and stuff. But the point I'm trying to say is that watching Mid-Atlantic, it made me, even the job guys were tough, you know. And don't get me wrong, they were shooters. Some of them were shooters. A lot of people, now, once you get in the business, you start finding
out. I'm glad
out.
You asked that. I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned the shooting.
Most guys will beat you up. You know, some of those guys that you think you would whoop, you're going to get in a rude away. You'll be in a rude awakening.
Mustafa, before we let you go, just wanted to do a really quick word association with you. Okay. I'm just going to mention somebody's name, and you just tell me in one word or however you want to describe it. It's your interview. You could just say one word or comment, whatever you want to do. But I'm just going to say the person's name, because you've mixed it up with so many freaking people in this business.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to shoot some names, and let's get some word association going on with you. First name that comes to mind is going to be Ole Anderson.
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have one word to say about like that. But Ole, even though he was all about business, man, and he taught me a few things as being close and talking to him. So he was all about business, man. The business.
Gene Anderson.
Real.
Ron Simmons.
That's my man. Ron helped me out too, man. So yeah, cool.
Cactus Jack.
Different, but in a good way. He was good people.
Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh, that's my man. Go Too Cold. Yeah. Too Cold taught me up, man. He put up with me and he helped me out, bro. Thank you, Too Cold.
Eric Watts.
Oh, Eric was cool. You know what I'm saying? We had a match, you know, and things. We could have did something. Could have made a little money if they would have let us do it the right way.
Harry Saturn.
Oh, man. He's in another galaxy. You know what I'm saying? That's all I can say about him. Another galaxy, man. He was cool, though.
Jim Cornette.
A crazy genius, bro. That's all I can say.
Yeah, hey, well, that's well said. Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman was... I would say, and this is the being honest with him, Paul Heyman was just a great businessman.
And lastly, New Jack.
Oh, man, that's my brother, man. I love New Jack, man, and Jerome, man, and I miss him. And damn, man, you know, when it happened to him, it broke my heart. No doubt. You know what I'm saying? So, but that was my brother, man. Love him, man. Miss him.
Yes, sir. Yes, R.I.P. sir. So, yes, sir. RIP, rest in peace. We are going to give you, we're going to send you off with a knockout question of the night. This is the last question of the night. Have you ever had to shoot? It's talking about shooters. Has anybody ever tried to shoot on you, or have you ever had to shoot on somebody?
I'm not going to say no names, but yeah, I had to do a lot of shooting before, you know, certain things. And I fooled a lot of them because I want to thank Gene Anderson for that. A couple of guys that was in the NWA, you know, because, you know, there was a lot of Division I, Division II wrestlers, NAIA wrestlers that turned into pro wrestlers. And we would wrestle all the time. And you never know, bro. I said, well, come on, let's get in the ring and do it. But I want to thank Gene Anderson for that. Get me beat up like that and help me out.
Well, man, there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Mustafa Saeed, thank you so much for coming on to the Fist of Face podcast. We were so stoked when you said you were going to come on, and we really appreciate it, because I myself, the Rock and Rodeo Express, I'm sure everywhere around the world, man, we have so much love and respect for you, man. So we really appreciate you giving us your time.
Man, I'm glad you did it, man. But you know, I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't think you was gonna call me, man. You know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about? You are Money Loves Me, Mustafa Saeed. What are you talking about? Come on now. I would never. Come on now. We are blessed to have you on this show. Once again, people out there, if you're listening, man, look him up. He's got plenty of footage on YouTube, man. And there's plenty of shows. You want to see him live and in person in Sacramento, just follow Supreme Pro Wrestling. Come say what's up. Thank you again, Mustafa, very much for stopping by. Have a good night. I'll see you in March at SPW.
We'll holler. Yeah, you know we're going to see each other. Yeah,
for sure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Good night, sir.
All right, good night.
This episode of the Fist to Face podcast is presented by Brawler Sports Management, Brawler Brew Energy Drink, Charlatan Records. Knock out your legal issues with Nog Law Firm, aggressive trial attorneys, criminal defense, and family law. And Outlaw Fit Camp. Make fit happen. OutlawFitCamp.com. Real people, real results.
Yes, yes, y'all. It is TMD, the handsome half-breed, the host of the Fist to Face podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple, Amazon, and iHeartRadio.